Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is photojournalist Barbara Bustillos Cogswell from Tucson, Arizona, to talk to us about her new documentary, Mariachi Memoirs. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Oh, thank you. I mean, this has been an exciting time to come back to Las Cruces.
This was the 24th annual Las Cruces Mariachi Conference that after 4 years, they've come back, and it was a spectacular concert. For 20 years, you've been documenting mariachi.
I have. It started when I was a community producer in NBC in Denver. And there was, you know, a lot of people that were really trying to help the mariachis to have a, you know, very beautiful venue. So there was a lot of Chicano movement there to bring them to a beautiful venue. So I met Mariachi Vargas, Sol de Mexico, and Los Camperos, and Las Perlitas from Mexico. So I was, I went out there to shoot footage, do interviews, and kept all of the interviews that I've done over the years. So I brought Mariachi Memoirs to the Las Cruces Festival to kind of show a glimpse of some of the footage that I've had over the last 20 years.
So from 1976 to 2004, conversations and concert performances, and you have been so fortunate to have met some of these great performers, and like the great Lola Beltran.
Yes, I mean, when I did the stories originally in Denver, it was such a great rapport with these mariachi maestros. And we got really a great response from the community that I ended up producing a three-part series. So the three-part series were not only featuring major vocalists of the ranchera music, major musicians and maestros and directors, but also community. So I got hooked. I started to save every single interview that I did on the mariachi and traveled across the Southwest, including Mexico. And thanks to the introductions, like, for example, Jose Hernandez with Sol de Mexico introduced me to the families in Mexico. So I was able to introduce my work, which was always focused on the children. By then, Mexico and the United States were aware of the mariachi conferences across the Southwest, and Las Cruces was one of those conferences that was just perfect for students. So my focus was to get consejos or advice from the greats for the students that were continuing to study. And it was advice from, you know, how to take care of your voice, you know, how to manage your play, how to learn and articulate your ranchera or your sones or your boleros. So the artists themselves were already slowing down in their careers, but they really wanted to share their wisdom. So that was the focus. When you look at combining the youth with the elders, it was just a very important story to share. So they knew it was for the children to learn on both sides of the border because it was a bilingual format. And then the children, like the screening that we did at Las Cruces, they had not seen Amalia Mendoza. And they knew her songs. They knew her interpretations. And as a young student from Tucson, she said, you know, I'm going to sing differently because now I see her. I saw how she was singing still at 80 with such a dramatic interpretation that she just, it kind of changed her point of view of how she was going to interpret her songs.
You've been around mariachis for over 20 years, since 1997 with this special Conversations in Concert and your Mariachi Memoirs, Volume 1, and you'll be continuing another memoir coming out in 2018, your Mariachi Memoirs, Volume 2.
Actually, breaking down all of the footage and the interviews, it's really going to be a four-part series. So each series is almost like a 10-year. You look at the start, you know, when you look at someone like Arturo Mendoza, who was the leader for Mariachi Vargas, that some of the mariachis that have seen him, like Cobre, I mean, they saw him when they were 17 years old and young. And then to see him on screen, they hadn't seen him in a long time, and he still had advice to give, you know, the real history of mariachi. I mean, he had a definite hands-on knowledge of Mariachi Vargas, how they started. So once I had the respect and the the support from these mariachi leaders, it was very easy to say, can I go backstage and interview this? Can I meet some of your cantantes? And then they would say, well, you know, you need to go meet this person. So then they would tell me the other person. And that's how it began, that they would say, oh, Barbara, you have to go interview the trumpet player, Miguel Martinez. Barbara, you have to go interview the greatest composer of Mexico with Vargas, José Ijalde. And so that's how it kept going. I did 4 stories in Los Angeles. One was about José Alfredo Jiménez having been to his home, and his wife, Paloma Jiménez, brought all of the children of the composers to meet me because they liked the idea of it being focused for the children, and they wanted to share their history. So when you're sitting down and you're getting conversations with Paloma Jiménez talking about José Alfredo Jiménez, and then you're looking at a book where he wrote all his songs, and then you meet the son of Agustín Lara, who's talking about, you know, what his father went through and his compositions, or a lot of the other children that were sharing what their life was when their father was composing and things like that. So I've saved all of those, and I've cut different stories for different, like, for example, Mariachi Sol was playing at the Greek Theater, and they asked me to edit some stories about José Alfredo. And Paloma had such a strong message, you know, to the children in this side of the border.
What was the strongest message?
You know, for her, it was to thank the United States for preserving the music, to thank the different festivals across the country for teaching their children. I mean, Tucson was doing mariachi festival conferences before Mexico did. And so you have artists like Pepe Aguilar saying, you know, there are more musicians on this side of the border that can read, compose, can write, and they're like high school or college age. So he was very supportive in sharing his knowledge with his family, what they went through. And you know, there's a little bit of talking about how at times it was rough due to racism, or it was rough due to venues or not getting paid. So when a student that's wanting to become a mariachi student or part of a group, they have to know a little bit of the past as to where their heroes have gone through. Like Cobre now are their heroes, but Cobre's heroes were like Vargas back, you know, 30, 40 years ago.
Well, Mariachi Cobre, the godfather,
oh,
los
yes.
padrinos of the Las Cruces Mariachi International Conference, they've been with them from the very beginning. And I'm sure you've had an opportunity to see them, not just in Tucson here in Las Cruces, at Epcot Center in Florida, and they've performed all over the nation and internationally as well. What is it that you would love to have people understand about mariachi music?
Well, you know, interviewing different people, it's such a strong art form, and it's a very difficult art form. In fact, in the last few years, I've been tracking the symphony circuit with mariachi, and Cobre was one of the big starts of mariachi. I mean, they traveled with the Boston Pops. So they basically, on the East Coast, because of being in Florida, were given a lot of credit for putting the art form on the East Coast. Then you look at Cobre, and in the sense of their longevity there, they had a lot of different exposures to different people coming to Disney. I mean, from their working there, the interviews that I've done, you know, they share that they've been taken all over Europe. So with the ones on the West Coast, like Natticano, Los Camperos, again, they also were doing symphony as well. Jose Hernandez was composing. And I mean, so now I guess what I've seen in the last 20 to 30 years is just a friend of mine called it a mobile symphony. So it really is like watching the discipline of a symphony musician, and the working with directors that can compose and rearrange different music, and you know, giving that, like just last week I shot footage of Dia de los Muertos in Tucson with a conductor, Jose Luis Gomez, who is from Venezuela, and directed a Day of the Dead concert with the symphony and mariachi Los Camperos. And you cry, you know, when you hear your song, your music with 60 to 70 musicians on stage. I mean, it fills your entire body. So I think from having gone to small venues or parks, you know, now mariachis are being mic'd to be specific in their sound. In the day, it was like one mic. Now I think it's become so much more developed and full. And that's what they teach at the conferences. You now have musicians that read music, and you have young composers now.
So that's something that makes mariachi's music and mariachi musicians different from other musicians, that they learn how to read and write music.
And that's developed in the last 20-some years, the importance of reading music. And it's from example, like in an interview that I did in 2004 here in Las Cruces with Steve Carrillo. He said that, he was studying voice because he has an incredible voice. So it became also a study of almost like opera. Then he had a voice doctor. And so his example of teaching voice, which is, he has one of the most incredible voice classes. People travel from other states once they know if he's going to give a mariachi voice lesson. A woman that I met traveled from Texas just to take his class. So they teach the children also to consider other art forms that will help them. So a lot of the kids now have their own voice teachers. And I started also with, I worked for the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. I worked for Dr. Wilbur J. Gould, who was a key figure in the community in voice care. I mean, his first patient was John Kennedy, our president, and all the opera singers. He taught them how to save their voice, work their voice, etc. He also, Linda Ronstadt went to him. So he was very familiar with the mariachi art form. And so when I wrote a paper with the National Institute of Health on how to teach voice care, that was my second story as far as at the early start. So we did a voice video to help teach the kids how to sing properly.
The mariachi, it's so in-depth. There's so much to learn that I'm learning from you right now about you need to know about voice care, learning how to use your voice, learning the instruments, learning how to read and write music. So there's a lot that people don't really understand the importance of what mariachi music is all about. Tell me about what you would like people to know about that.
With mariachi music, I think the reason I got totally hooked on it is because of that old saying, la cultura cura. When you have your culture intact in your heart and in your family home and you understand what your culture is and how it was developed, and we could go back to the Aztecs or to the mariachi, it instills pride. And you then have identity to a history. And when you know your identity and your history, and then you learn about greats, I mean, in all the interviews, the common fact was that music was played in the home. It started maybe with your abuelita or your mother or your parents, so you heard it constantly. I was told today that there was a couple was looking at the documentary and they saw Amalia Mendoza, and the lady said, you know, I played that song while I was pregnant, and every time our mariachi group would play it, the baby would kick. And the baby was born knowing that song. So it's something that is cultural in the home. But then again, I've interviewed many musicians as well as audience that are Anglo. Las Cruces, in the concert, we had African-American musicians that were outstanding. I've documented Asian-Americans. And then I document where the mariachis have gone. When you listen to Mariachi Vargas going to Japan, and that they're singing along to the sones, that puts an idea in the students that this could be a global opening for me to present my art form. And so then when you hear Cobre that, you know, they're taken to Europe to tour, or they go and travel with the Boston Pops, that's more pride, because now you have to learn to read music. Now you have to learn to play your instrument well, because now there's more competition. But I think what the students come away from when I've traveled with mariachi groups, they have a second family, and their friends are out watching out for each other. It's been noted that music has kept people from getting in trouble, hanging out in the streets. And when they learn to play an instrument well, they have pride, and then their family has pride, and their neighbors have pride. And before you know it, you have an entire community very proud of young students doing this music. So the memoirs have always been to get advice from the ones that have been so successful. Lola Beltran shares that, you know, the voice care, it's so important. She says that is an instrument. And then Amalia Mendoza said, you know, you can't have stage fright because you're walking on a stage of people that already love you. Why do you need to be afraid of stage fright? So there's a lot of learning.
Oh, and you have a lot of advice, consejos to give. So we're looking forward to your new documentary, Mariachi Memoirs. Tell me more.
Well, with all the footage that I have, it's going to be a four-part series. And because it's a bilingual format, I'm also working on a book. So we're looking at that in two languages. So you'll have a documentary and then you'll have a book as well. So that's going to be my entire devotion to be ready in 2018.
Thank you so much again, photojournalist Barbara Bustillos-Cogswell. It's been an honor and a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. For KRWG, I'm Emily Guerra.